Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. This episode, I am sitting across from a woman that I just feel like has this deep well of wisdom and inspiration, and I am excited to get to learn from her and just hear what God has done in her life and be inspired and encouraged by her. She is a co-author. Would you call it a co-author, or how would you say it exactly? There's multiple authors of her book, Eighth Day Prayers, and she has multiple books that are in this Eighth Day Prayers series. And so we're going to talk more about that. But as we are starting, Willa Cain, I would love for you to tell us about this whole, these books. That was not something that you ever set out to write or do. And you were telling me the story before we started recording. And I'd love for you to go back and take us back to that day where this all sparked from.
I would love to talk about that. It really is a story of a God nudge that turned into something I never imagined it would. I was up early in the morning that week in March of 2020 when the world shut down with COVID. And most people can remember exactly where they were when they realized, I think we're going to be isolated. This is really going to be different. And I was sitting in a sunroom of a spot we have down on the coast of Georgia, looking out across the marsh, and I just not knowing what was going on, and had a text from a woman who lives in my town in North Carolina, who said, "What would you think of getting friends and family to pray at 8 o'clock every day about whatever this thing is we're wandering into?" Of course, none of us thought it was going to be as lengthy as it was. But I love ideas. I love connecting people and ideas. So I reached out to about a dozen friends in different spheres of ministry and said, what do you think about this? Immediately heard back from a friend in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, named Sally Breedlove, who is a wonderful writer and contemplative prayer kind of warrior, who said, "I'll write content." And a young man who lived just up the hill from her in Chapel Hill, who runs a study center at the University of North Carolina, said, "I'll build a website." Well, that Sally is a little bit older than I am, and I am moving in on 70. So the fact that somebody said they'd build a website was really good news for two old girls. Within 24 hours, we had our first posting ready to go and a website ready, and just started sharing. And just like that, that horrible germ went viral, this thing went viral too. Over about a 3-week period of time, 15,000 people around the world committed to pray for 8 minutes at 8 o'clock in their time zones. And we like to say it was virtually wrapping the world in prayer. There were pinprick lights of the gospel that were just springing up all over. Really one of the most exciting things I've ever experienced. And for somebody who never intended for this to be a project, or certainly not a global prayer initiative, and then to turn in after a couple of years to turn into a series of three books that we call prayer guides for scripture-soaked prayer, for taking a passage of scripture and really turning it back into prayer as the way God starts his conversation with us. It's been very exciting 5 years.
And I was just thinking, 15,000 people in 3 weeks, like, where did they find out about this?
I guess it's just that multiplicative effect when, you know, if I send it to 10 people and they each send it to 10 people and all that, it's been too long since I've been in a real good math class to do that math, but you get what I mean. I think that was really what happened. Mm-hmm. And people were, I think there was such a shock that our world all of a sudden was shutting down, that we were isolated in our homes, that we didn't know what the answers were. There was fear that, you know, this was dangerous. People were dying. There was not, there were so many questions, I think. And we like to say that what drew people to this these books for this, to this initiative, was that God's word is always, it always stands up to the challenge. There's always what we need there. If we had just started off writing, well, all these bad things are happening, this many people die today, this has happened in this way or that way, and tried to come up with answers to make people feel more comfortable, there would have been no power or any, the answers wouldn't have been there. But the fact that we pointed people over and over again to God's word, I think is what made it attractive and really kind of magnetic. Mm. And in the end, I think it's been powerful in lives.
Mm. And I was just thinking how old were you when you started doing this?
All right. Well, just true confession, I am 2 months away from turning 70. So 5 years ago, I was 65.
And so all these years, I was just thinking how God had been preparing you for this, mm-hmm. and you had no idea. Mm-hmm. And as you look back, do you see like his hand in different things where he kind of had led you mm-hmm. and just prepared your heart to do this?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. I was an art major in undergraduate school. I love creating beauty. I went to graduate school in journalism. I love to write. I've been a women's Bible study teacher for a number of years. I love God's word. And so I really do think all those things kind of coalesced. Mm-hmm. I am privileged to serve on a board for a woman named Ann Graham Lotz, who's Billy Graham's daughter. And she is a beautiful prayer warrior and has a deep understanding of scripture, and sitting at her feet over a number of years has informed me also. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's this hit me at a time too, with children grown. We have 4 married children and 12 grandchildren who I just absolutely adore spending time with. But this was a good time in my life to really sink into something like this. And also the fact that everything slowed down in the world, you know, it was, I think almost everybody dropped the busyness that we were all used to living into. And so I had periods of time where I could really think and write and pray and work on these things. Mm-hmm. And then found some wonderful professional people like our great publicist team who have helped us do things in a more professional way than we could have imagined if we had done it on our own.
So when you first started it, I'm assuming you didn't call it Eighth Day Prayers.
No, we didn't. We called it 8 at 8, 8 minutes at 8 o'clock. It just really simple, and didn't have any idea in the beginning that there would be something of any longevity. We thought we were just addressing a particular need at a particular moment in time. So yeah, that did change. But and actually, I love the way the title came about, because it tells a lot about it. Well, you ask, you know, did God prepare me? He did, and he prepared the other authors as well. I had a period of 10 years in my 30s when I had chronic fatigue syndrome, mm-hmm. and was pretty much in bed with 4 little children. And those were times where I had to just trust that God had me in his hands. That gave me confidence that God's word was up to the challenge of what we were facing. Sally Breedlove, during close to the second year of when we were writing and we were starting to contemplate publication, had a little granddaughter who was born with all sorts of problems. She was born way early, lived only 88 days, had heart issues, and her just little body just couldn't hold up to it. She lived for 88 days and died on December 28th. And her daughter, who's a beautiful young woman of faith, was writing things to share with her friends about what they were going through. And it struck her that 88 days, died on the 28th, there's something about that number 8. And in church history, back millennia, we know that the 8th day is a special day for Christians. It was the day of resurrection. In the Jewish calendar, the Sabbath day was the 7th day on Saturday. And Jesus was resurrected on the 8th day. So that was the day everything changed. That, you know, I think it's Tim Keller who said the gospel changes everything. And it's the truth. And so if 8 is significant in that way, a day of new creation, a day when death is destroyed. That felt significant for this little girl, and it felt significant to this project for us, that if we were really trusting God, that in Christ's resurrection, our lives change completely, and that we become eighth-day people, that then we felt like it was appropriate to name these books Eighth-Day Prayers.
Mm. What does it look like for you in your everyday life to be an eighth-day person?
Oh, I love that. You know, I read a long time ago, I think it was an Anglican theologian who's passed away now, named John Stott, who was just one of my favorites, who said, preach the gospel to yourself first thing every morning. Get up and just remind yourself, this is why I can open my eyes and take another breath. It's because Jesus has, you know, come and live the life I should have lived, died the death I should have died, has given me a chance to live in a new way. And so that's what it means to me, is that I just to remember, this is all a gift. This project has been a gift, and being able to live knowing that Jesus has solved my biggest problems is the great gift.
Mm-hmm. As you look back, you know, almost 70 years old, you look back on your life and you see the world now. And I just wonder, you know, what do you wish that you could say to like a woman like me who is, I just turned 44, you know, like what are those things that you see in the world now that you're just thinking, oh, like they're missing the mark?
You know, I think I'll tie it back to this a little bit, because these books are formatted according to the church calendar or something that's called the liturgical year. And what that does is it maps the life of Christ onto the calendar the world gives us, which is something I love to say, is that the world always disciples us in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And we need something else to root us in the way God sees the world. It's, you know, from the beginning in the garden, when they, you know, Adam and Eve walked with God, and then there was the fall. And from that point on, God had this plan to restore and redeem and rescue us. And if we get wrapped up in, like I have for so many years, well, it's time to start back to school. I've got everybody, we need back to school clothes. We need school supplies. And then we've got to get ready for this and for that, and the Thanksgiving and Christmas and things. Not necessarily thinking about the theological meanings of those, of the holidays our world gives us, but just sort of checking off the calendar marks and the to-do lists that go along with those things. That's, I think, what I would say is, think about Advent, for instance, is a season of preparation, enlarging your heart so you're ready to take on the great gift, the celebration that's Christmas, the gift of Christ. And then the season after that is Epiphany and its growth. And then that happens again. You have Lent, which is a period of preparation, getting your heart ready for Jesus' death and resurrection, which is great celebration, Easter Day. And then the next season, the season of Pentecost, is growth. And then we have a long season of ordinary time, which is, you know, now that the whole life of Christ has been kind of mapped onto where we are, we see what he went through to you know, be born, to live, to die, to teach, all those things, and then send the Holy Spirit. We've got all the equipment we need, everything we need to live through the next half of the year, which is called ordinary time, which wraps back along to Advent. We're probably 2/3 of the way through ordinary time right now. And I will say, thinking about it in that way has made this season that could feel long and ordinary not feel so ordinary.
Mm. So you're sharing this, and I'm thinking of the woman who's listening, who's going, I'm just barely trying to keep my head above water. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I make that switch? Mm-hmm. You had 4 children and chronic fatigue. Like, mm-hmm. you know what it's like to have a lot on your plate.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's to take it in little pieces. One of the things we say about using these prayer guides is that, you know, we have a passage of scripture that's not very long normally. And we recommend that people, and this is what I do, I read through it one time pretty slowly, and I just ask God to show me a word or a phrase or a couple of sentences that, Lord, what are you trying to say to me today? I don't want to try to outline this whole thing. I don't need to understand all of it. I want you to give me what I need for the next, maybe for the next hour. Maybe it's only that. Maybe it's I'm in a crisis and I need you to say one thing to me to help me know where to turn, how to approach this. And then I'll sit for a minute and then I'll read through it again slowly and just say, Lord, just show me, what is it? What is it? And then we have a guided meditation, and that sometimes again will kind of just pique an idea or a thought or, you know, a little bit of comfort or encouragement or a warning. This is, look out for this. And then just to stop and pray, looking back over that passage of scripture in the meditation and pull out those words that God has given us. Our contention is that I'm a Southern girl. I love the art of conversation, and I was taught to do that from a pretty early age. What we've got in scripture is God is the master of the art of conversation, gives us everything we need as conversation starters with him. We just need to look. And sometimes it's just as simple as a word. It doesn't need to take an hour. You can make your way through these meditations in 5 or 6 minutes. So if you're a mama on the run, they're small enough to fit in your pocketbook, or that's what we call purses in my part of the South, or a backpack if you're a cooler person than I am. But that's what I would say. Look for the little nuggets and God will give them to you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't expect you to be a theologian. Mm-hmm.
And I love how you're simplifying it so that, you know, it's that anticipation of like praying and asking God, give me what I need. Mm-hmm. And maybe just for the next hour. Right. One of the things that I've clung to a lot in the last 5 years is just like, give us this day our daily bread. And how, you know, yes, he didn't give the Israelites manna for the next 40 days or the next 10 years. And how, right, so often we, mm-hmm, want to know, like, how is it all going to work out,
right,
tomorrow, next, mm-hmm, week, mm-hmm, and a month from now. But it's like, give us this day our daily bread. And that he is, that's always, right, so faithful to give us what we need for right exactly where we are.
No, you're exactly right. And even when the Israelites tried to stockpile some of that stuff and it was rotten and rancid, it's not his intention to give us more than we need for right now. So that would be my great encouragement. And honestly, even if it, for somebody who's listening, who might be a skeptic, who might be just not sure whether any of this is true, I would just say, you know, what have you got to lose? Try it. You know, try it for a day or two. And just see if there's some peace that invades your life, mm-hmm, if there's just a settling, or if you've had a kind of a question that's just stuck in your mind or your heart for a while, and you start to feel like you're getting an answer. I would just say, you know, in my opinion, God's always up to the challenge, mm-hmm, and I would just say maybe give that a try.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies, it covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. Silas used IXL in his math class a few years ago, and he really loved how he could work at his own pace, and he loved that he was able to see instant feedback on how he was doing. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. It will work for any of your kids because IXL uses smart technology to tailor support to each child child's level, personality, and learning pace, which I love. It also saves time because one subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, whether they're pre-K up to 12th grade. And also, my favorite part, you save money because if your child is struggling, this is such a great investment. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off your IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. One of the things that my mom had us do as part of our homeschool growing up was to write thank you notes. And this was a whole production. It wasn't just a store-bought thank you card. No, we would create the card using lots of different art mediums. Like sometimes it would be painting, sometimes it would be rubber stamps or embossing or cutting out different things. We had so much fun creating them and then learning to write and communicate our gratitude. And to this day, I look back on that and I'm so thankful for that skill. And also just that you can create something meaningful with your hands that can bless someone else and also teach you great skills. And that's really what KiwiCo stands for. If you're not familiar with them, they are a company that send crates to kids that have cool science and art concepts that are expressed through fun hands-on projects. It's delivered to your door every single month. And these projects are things that can be played with over and over again. And kids just love them. And they are learning. KiwiCo really encourages kids to be creative, bold, curious, and persistent through hands-on play and projects. Over the years, my kids have loved these crates. My older kids, when they were younger, looked forward to getting them in the mail. One Christmas, my grandparents actually gifted them, which is, I think, a great idea. Think ahead to Christmas. This is something you could ask the grandparents or someone else who loves your kids to get for them. And it's this fun thing to look forward to every month, but they're also learning and expressing themselves creatively and building. And I think there's something really fulfilling about reading instructions and putting something together that they can actually use. So I highly recommend this. And then our younger kids have enjoyed them as well. Tinker, create, and innovate with KiwiCo. Get up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com using promo code Crystal. That's up to 50% off your first crate at KiwiCo.com, promo code Crystal.
And as you were talking about the Israelite stockpiling, I was thinking how God wants us to be in this place of need before Him. Mm-hmm. You know, He doesn't want us to feel like we have it all figured out. We have it all together. That's right. Like we have this path that's paved for the next 10 years. Like He wants us to be in that place where it's like, I need you right now.
Exactly.
And that's a hard place to be. Like we don't like to be needy people.
No, our world tells us that's not the way to be. Our world tells us that we're, back to your question about what would I tell a 44-year-old version of myself or you, during the time that our children were growing up, the mantra was, you can do anything you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, just decide what it is you want to do and go for it and you can do it. Well, I don't really agree with that anymore. I think you can do what God has made you to do. Mm. He's built you in a particular way and He's written your story, but He's already written your story. You just need to find it and then throw yourself into it. And as parents, I would say it's our job to help our children figure that out. Mm-hmm. It's help them figure out what their skill set is. How has God wired you? I mean, I bet with your house full of children, everybody's wired a different way. I know mine are. And with 12 grandchildren, every single one of them has a different sort of bent and talented in different ways, challenged in different ways, all the things. And I feel like, one of the things I love about being a grandmother is that I feel like I've got the time and space and also the perspective able to see those things a little more clearly. I'm not driving all the carpools, so I can think about them a little bit.
to help them figure out, you know, this is what's this. I see this in you. Mm-hmm. Maybe look in this direction. Where I'm here in your beautiful part of the country, visiting a son and his wife and four daughters. While we're doing this podcast, and our oldest granddaughter is almost 14, and is facing a physical challenge with mm-hmm. scoliosis, something mm-hmm. that has really taken all of us by surprise, and it's really hard for her. She's a beautiful pianist, and she sat down to play the piano last night while we were getting supper ready, and. I all of a sudden I thought the pain of what she's going through is informing her music. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things God does. He takes our times of challenge, and you wouldn't necessarily think that that's a gift. But after she finished playing this beautiful piece, I said, Julia, I can hear how God is working in your life. Your music has taken on a completely different quality. So as hard as this period of time is, know that there's a gift in it too. Mm.
That's really beautiful. And I was just thinking how so many who are listening who, you know, if you have adult children, we're just in that, like starting in that season, and it's a whole new way of parenting.
It's completely different.
And so for you, like, I'm sure that there's been so much hard with seeing, like, this is your child who has a child who is struggling so yeah. much. And that's just, mm-hmm. I'm sure, very heavy on your heart.
It's really hard. It really is. But again, the perspective of time and the arc of God's whole story, we know that the answer is already in place, you know, and the answer has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that, even in the hard places, especially in the hard places, gives me great hope. Mm-hmm. And confidence that particularly when I can't see through the next hour or the next day or the next season, that I believe in a God who I know has written the story. Mm-hmm.
As you were talking about, like, you know, you've been in these different parenting seasons, and I was thinking, like, what did it look like when your kids were little for you to speak into them, like you were talking about, like seeing how God has wired them? What did that look like when they were younger?
Oh, it was different ones with different, you know, different with each one. We had three little boys in 4 years, and then 5 years later, our daughter, the only civilized, you know, part of our family mix. So thankful for her, and adore my boys. But the three boys were all college athletes. It was the most rambunctious household you can imagine. And we actually instigated something called the reconciliation bench, because they were always, two of them in particular are about a year apart in age, and they were very combative. And so we made them go sit in this really formal little foyer bench. And somebody had to say, I'm sorry. And the other one had to say, you know, had to say, I forgive you. Well, the one who apologized many times was held at bay by the one who just wouldn't say, I forgive you, but because they were trying to punish the other one. What we realized that is that we need a mediator, not just a reconciliation bench. And so I think as I watched ours, one in particular had a very tender heart. He was the one that didn't need real harsh discipline. There was another one who was just, he could have been the warrior on the wall, and he did need more stringent discipline sometimes. I think you see the things that bring him joy, the things that they're attracted to. You watch the way they relate to other people. I think those are a lot of the things. I don't know that I've answered your question very well, but it does take me back down memory lane to what it was like when they were all little.
Three boys in 4 years. That's a lot.
It was a lot.
And so then now having all adult children, like mm-hmm. what words of wisdom do you have for someone like me who is just stepping into that mm-hmm. space?
Mm-hmm. You know, from early ages, my husband and I prayed together that our children would always love each other. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, I mean, looping it back to the importance of prayer, I do think that's important. I think, you know, maybe just to, you know, in a carpool line, if that's where you are, take a few minutes just to write down, if I think out 20 or 30 years, what are the things I would like to see in my family when my children are older, when we're older? What would I like to see? What are the values? And just, you know, pray those things. You don't have to, you know, do it every day, but you know, be consistent with it. And our children are all very different. We have three that live in Raleigh where we are, and then this one son and his wife who live in out here in Franklin. They're all doing very different things, but they've learned the virtue of working hard, of trying to make a difference in their communities, of being faithful to their families. Those things I would say the most. But our four adult children and their spouses, we're so thankful for that, all really have a good time together mm-hmm. and love to be together. I have to say this for anybody who has children who are getting married, if you're in that season, which is, that kind of took my breath away all of a sudden when I thought, who are all these people coming into our family? I can't set all the holiday schedules anymore. I have to share. I have to do all those things. That can be hard. A precious older friend of mine calls the in-laws, the walk-ons. And since we were kind of an athletic family, that's kind of how I like to think about it. Well, I love our walk-ons. In fact, sometimes I love our walk-ons more than I love the ones that we started out with.
I love that. And then as a grandma, like with having 12 grandchildren, like what advice do you have, and how have you really like fostered strong relationships and poured Jesus into your grandchildren?
One of my very favorite things we do is we have an annual cousin camp. Mm-hmm. I took this idea from my precious friend, Susan Alexander Yates. She and her husband, Johnny, who are dear friends of ours, started this many, many years ago. They have 21 grandchildren, and they did this for a good long time. We take the children for 3 days, 2 nights without their parents. And I run it just kind of like a little summer camp, but we choose a Bible verse, and we have t-shirts made, and we have crafts and all sorts of activities and things that just sort of try to instill in our kiddos these values that are so important to us. And then in this last cousin camp, and I will say this, if anybody likes this idea, Susan wrote a book called Cousin Camp that gives you great ideas. But you got to have some strict standards about it. Our main one is that you have to be 4 and potty trained in order to qualify as a camper. There's some things you just can't do. But in this last one, we set it up so that the older cousins had a mechanism so they can let each other know how to pray for each other. Mm-hmm. And again, that's part of what's come out of these last 5 years, soaking in prayer. And we talked to them about how you can take a passage of scripture and turn that back into a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few ways. And I do try to, you know, the ones who are in our hometown live around the corner, and it's easy to see them often. These, you know, we have to prioritize these that are at a little bit of a distance, but we've done a pretty good job of that.
I love that so much. As we are wrapping to a close, I love how accessible these books are. Like, I feel like I've been reading just every morning, just opening up and just reading one section. And, you know, like you said, the 8 minutes, it doesn't even take 8 minutes, but you can mm-hmm. steep in it for 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I love how you've just made it so that someone who doesn't feel like they have a lot of time,
that's right,
they can still mm-hmm. spend time in prayer and mm-hmm. start their day or end their day or in the mm-hmm. middle of the day, mm-hmm. just open this up and read God's word, get some encouragement, and then just be challenged to pray. And I just appreciate how you've done this and been so faithful with this. You know, God gave you this idea that sort of took off, but then you've continued with it for mm-hmm. 5 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that's, I'm sure there's been hard times, and I'm sure that there's been times when it's been a lot of work, and you've stuck with it and been faithful and impacted so many, many. I mean, just to think of the ripple effect of the thousands and thousands mm-hmm. and thousands of people around the world mm-hmm. that have been impacted by this because of your faithfulness.
Well, you're kind to say that. I really would say that, you know, it is way more a gift to have been involved in it than mm-hmm. it feels like work. It really has been, it feels like something, it is something that God has done. And I think all the folks that have been involved in it would say the very same thing, mm-hmm. that the blessing is ours. And we do hope the Lord will use it to bless others.
Mm-hmm. You said before we started recording that it is online still as well as in books. I'd love for you to tell us, like, where can people find it online if they're more of an online person, and then tell us about the three books.
Yes, there, you can go to our website, which is eighthdayprayers.org, and there's a button down at the bottom that says pray with us. And all you have to do is click that, put your email in, and you'll get these in your inbox every morning around 6 o'clock in the morning. We're thrilled for people to do that. In addition, we've got the three books that we were very intentional about the way they were designed. We think they're beautiful for gifting. They're a size that's easy to carry, as I said, in your pocketbook or backpack, but really easy to give to somebody else. It's not an intimidating size. And so we hope for Advent or for Christmas, people might think about these as good gifts. And they're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com, a lot of local bookstores as well.
Yeah. And tell us the three different books, what they are.
The first book is 8-Day Prayers, Daily Hope for Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. Volume 2 is 8-Day Prayers, Daily Mercy for Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. And the third volume is 8-Day Prayers, Ordinary Time, Daily Joy for Ordinary Time.
And so you've covered every day of the year.
Every day of the year. Okay. Every day of the year. And there's a calendar across the top of each page that runs for 10 years to show you where, you know, what day of the year it is. The liturgical year doesn't, those numbers don't match up exactly to our modern calendar, but we have a very easy way for you to tell where to jump in. And we also, each book also has a ribbon so you can mark your place. Okay.
And so the Advent book, which I was thinking would be a great one for people to start with, especially this time of year, when exactly would it start?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to look and tell you for 2025. I'm going to look at my little calendar right here. And that would be November 30th.
Okay. So perfect. This would be perfect to get as a gift for someone, but then also for yourself, especially if you're listening to this episode and you're saying, I want to have that where I'm starting my day just spending some time in God's word and in prayer and to have a guide. Because sometimes I think we want to do this thing, but we don't exactly know how. And so having a guide is so helpful to be able to do that. And so I'd highly recommend to start with Advent, but then once you start, you might just get hooked and then you're going to need to get the two other books as well. So 8-Day Prayers, the Advent one is called Daily Hope for Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. And there are multiple co-authors, but Willa was one of them. And so on each day, it says who wrote the, I don't know if you want to call it devotional or prayer guide for that day, but I love that. And I love that you're bringing in different voices as well. I think that's really beautiful to kind of just make it have just such richness and depth. So I just appreciate just hearing the story behind this and how God has just blessed this, blessed your faithfulness and your willingness to put yourself out there and just take the next step and trust him. And I'm just excited for what he's going to continue to do. You know, you have no idea in the months and years ahead what he has for you and for 8-Day Prayers. But I just appreciate you being here and sharing your wisdom and your encouragement. I think it's going to bless so many people.
Well, Crystal, thank you. It's been a delight to spend some time with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.